Is it? God damn it. I'm actively upset with myself right now.
Mm-hmm. Greetings, Apropossi.
Yeah.
It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Yes, it is.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And we are, as you can probably tell by the audio quality, remote.
Yes.
You want to tell us why, James?
Yeah, I fucked up my back and hip. Mm-hmm.
What'd you
do
that
way to be
for?
A dick about it, Salsa.
I wish I knew. I actually don't know what it is that I did that injured it, but it's been a real roller coaster for like a week.
Damn.
Yeah. I was starting to feel it last week when we were recording in person, and then it just hasn't gotten better.
Have you seen anybody about it yet?
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of people. A lot of people are visible.
Have you seen a medical professional about it?
Yes. Also, yes. I went to the chiropractor, and I've also talked to.
Have you seen a medical professional, not a quack?
Telehealth.
Oh my!
About it. Well, because of my scoliosis, I do go into a chiropractor very frequently because that does help me. So, results being what they are, I have a better life through chiropractic. Mm. So I do that frequently, but I think I may have torn something. Yeah. And I think that the pain in my lower back and upper leg are sort of just radial pain from that injury.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing fucks up another thing, up another thing.
So,
hip bones connected to the knee bones, connected to the neck bone.
I mean, if you're lucky.
Yep.
So,
wait, if you're lucky, your knee bone's connected to your neck bone?
No, if you're lucky, someone's ankle bones are connected to your neck bone.
Ooh, yes.
So,
accurate.
That. But yeah, I tore something and then. It's been sort of coming and going. Like I went and got a couple hundred pounds of dirt for the house yesterday.
I got a jar of dirt.
and today, like, called out of work for the second half of the day because that just wasn't happening. I was hoping that I would feel a little bit better, and I don't. So, after this, I'm going to take a hot, hot, hot bath.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does that mean you are drinking anything right now or not?
Oh.
I am going to... I'm going to drink something, but I have not taken muscle relaxers at this point and do not intend to mix them. But I... We'll have a beer here at the beginning.
I mean, don't be a hero. If you want to take medicine later, by all means, just have something non-alcoholic for now.
Yeah.
What?
Well,
what?
This is Indeed Brewing Company Blue Raspberry Cream Ale. This will be out of my system by the time we're done podcasting.
Okay. It's got the rocket popsicle.
It does. And we're going to find out because I bought an Indeed sampler pack. It includes the pistachio cream ale that I really like. Mm. And it also had like a strawberry thing. But yeah, here we go.
Is that the pack that you purchased when we were out buying 90s horror tea?
Yes, in fact, it was. This is surprisingly good.
Mm.
Hmm.
Okay.
Wow. I am legitimately surprised by
Does it taste like a rocket popsicle?
A little bit. Like it tastes like a rocket popsicle mixed with a beer.
With hops, yeah.
Oh, not the even, part I don't like.
Not even necessarily just strictly hops, but just like a kind of an inoffensive, like a Coors or something. Just,
and you lost me.
I know, offensive to Jenna, and salsa is
too
good
for that.
There are
very few things that offend me, but that would be
one. But that is one of them. But no, this is pretty tasty. I'm enjoying this. It is better than a bomb pop dissolved in a hams or something. But
all right.
I mean, maybe I think you need to have a bomb pop dissolved in hams now too, just to, you know,
compare
for science.
Yep.
For science. All right.
For science. Yeah.
All right. When you feel better, get on that.
I will.
Jenna, what about you?
I'm drinking a rum ginger ale. It's it's a Don Q Limon.
Ooh.
And there is something about the citrus and the ginger ale that it's candy. I'm probably gonna pass out drunkenly later. I might try to make out with my boyfriend, and he'll be like, go away. I'm like, all right, just fucking go upstairs and just pass out on the landing. It'll be great.
Yeah.
It's very tasty. I recommend.
Okay.
You are both lucky that you're not heavy and easy to carry. Drop into a
My partner is tiny. He has never had to carry me before. I am curious as to how that would go if actively needed.
We need to figure out like some kind of a duffel shoulder strap thing for easy hauling.
For me or my partner?
For both of your sake.
For him to be able to carry you.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Maybe a little backpack. You know?
I think this is... The drunken partner Bjorn, I think, is
fucking million dollar idea, Salsa.
Yeah, copyright on that. Copyright right there.
Copyright
James,
TM.
Invent that.
TM copyright.
Yep. TM.
Already done. Yeah.
All right. Get on that. Jenna is going to be your case study.
Yeah.
And what a case study I make.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There was an insult I wrote once that I don't think anybody would have gotten, so I promptly discarded it from performance. But the insult is, you're the reason why medical science has stopped taking case studies. Yeah. It's hilarious to me because they did actually say that the overtime case study was not as effective and that they were going to discontinue it.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be way more back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find that very funny, and I don't think anyone else would have. So
yeah, it would have landed pretty quietly.
Yeah. With a quizzical look at best.
Yeah, there would have been two people in the audience howling.
Oh,
the rest of them.
Oh,
yeah.
If I was lucky, there would have been two people
in
the audience.
No, the two people
Those are
in
just the
audience.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Don't be accurate. That's mean. What about you, Saul? So what are you drinking?
Yeah, what are you drinking?
I am drinking from Maiden Rock Winery and Cidery, which is just across the border in Stockholm, Wisconsin. I am having a Honeycrisp hard cider.
God damn, that sounds good.
Yep. Maiden Rock does some really good stuff that I enjoy every year when I perform at Fire in the Shire. I swing by on my way home and get something.
Mm. All of that's coming up for you, isn't it?
Yeah, my first festival's just in a little over, a little under 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, coming up. Tis the season.
Oh, the hot season damn. Is upon us.
I started digging through my gear, making sure that I had all of my stuff, my promotional material. I ordered some more of those because I realized I couldn't find what I had. No, sure. I was digging around. I was like, honey, do you know where I put the rest of my promo stuff? She was like, I don't know. Is it in the? It was like, no, there's two in this box. So that can't be it. And then I went, maybe, no, that might be it.
Maybe that is it. Yeah.
No, but then I found my tip bag from last year that I had just thrown in my tub after mm-hmm. Rogues and Ruffians last year. And I found that I had 19 left.
Oh.
So not enough.
Yeah.
So I ordered another 200. Hopefully they'll get here before Nebraska.
Damn.
Did you also have cash in that tip bag, or had you taken care of that part?
No,
of
I took care of that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I picture it
like when you get your winter coat out of the closet at the beginning of winter, and you're like $20.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, my accounting for gratuity is actually really anal.
I believe that.
Like, I have a system. I everything is documented to within an inch of its life as to cash tips versus digital tips versus like the size of my crowds versus the weather conditions versus like which show of the day it is and everything like this that.
Matches with what I know of you, weirdly. Yeah.
So I know just because of all the data points, Jenna, I'm sure you would appreciate this.
This is the prettiest I've ever seen you, Sol.
But yeah, when the days are warmer, colder, or rainy, or windy, or, you know, noon show versus 2 o'clock show, like all of those trends, I've got data points from the last 5 years or so, at least.
Actually, I do that at the box office for Fencing Booth as well.
Cool. So yeah,
no, box office cash box, whatever.
Yeah, we knew what you meant, even if you weren't able to say it right.
Mad at myself.
As you should be.
But yeah, just pulling my gear out, making sure that all my equipment is maintained. My torches if I need.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
How does your costume fit?
Fine.
Because for me, every season, like every fest season, when I pulled stuff out, I was like, okay, how does my costume fit, and how do I feel about this?
Are you calling me fat, Jenna?
No. No, I actually feel like maybe you lost a few inches.
No. I lose weight during Fest. I gain weight during the off season.
Okay.
What I have discovered about my own costume is that I have had most of those pieces for something like 25 years, and I have changed shape dramatically several times since then. I think that the base masculine clothing for Renaissance festivals is way more forgiving.
Yes. Yeah.
Way more forgiving.
That is fairly loose fair.
To start off with. And so.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be slinky and curvy. You.
Doesn't have to support the.
Nope.
The fat sacks.
Nope. You can just basically put a burlap bag and make a waist belt out of twine and it fits.
I mean, that's basically what our buddy Josh did. So, yeah. You know.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, making sure the costume bits, you know, there's no seams ripped open in the crotch.
Right.
Yeah.
Making sure
it's not that kind of show.
Yeah, making sure my swords are
not that kind of show yet.
Making sure my swords are scrubbed and not rusty. Making sure the torches don't need re-wrapping. Oh, none of these are euphemisms, James.
Oh.
So
just
but yeah, you know, it's coming up. Coming up. I'm gonna have to get the camper out of the garage and that is a euphemism, James. You figure out what it means.
Yay! Oh, I've got my ideas.
All right, think of the idea. That one's wrong.
Oh. What about...
Nope, that one's wrong too.
Hmm.
Getting warmer with that one.
But if we flip over...
Nope, colder.
Oh, okay. So then it's down low.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
Is your camper a pop-up?
Yes.
You bet it is.
Nope, getting colder.
Oh.
There it is. He figured it out.
Okay.
I knew from the beginning I was just here for the ride. Oh my god.
But that's what I've been doing is getting ready for that because it is here. I'm really disappointed because there was a busker festival that I had auditioned for this year that I did not get into. So that was going to be a midsummer show for me up in Canada. But that did not pan out, and I'm real just disappointed. That would have been a good show. So
screw Canada. Fuck those guys.
Like all of them?
Yeah.
Maybe you'd get into a busker festival.
All right, I suppose I'll get started.
Yeah.
I'm gonna warm up the camper.
Work your way into that.
I've known some real good-looking Canadians, so.
I mean, Sean Pitre.
There's all that flannel up there.
Well, speaking of flannel.
Yeah.
I went to a clothing swap yesterday.
Yes, I heard all about that.
I ran into somebody's wife.
Whose?
You probably ran into a lot of people's wives, but you realize that they're people on their own merit and not just people's wives, Jenna.
You're also supposed to slow down in crosswalks. If not, stop.
I don't run into my friends like that. My friends run into me like that.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Weirdly accurate. So I got to see Raiderly yesterday. It was super fun because I showed up just at the same time as Raiderly. And I helped her haul in bags and I was like, oh my god, is this all yours? And she's like, no. I'm like, so like you salsa kids? And she's like, I also have my sister's stuff and her husband's stuff. Like, yeah. So it was just, she showed up with a conglomeration of bags.
Yeah.
So I helped her sort through some of that.
I do have to relate one thing about that is loading up the bags into the car that morning. And we got done and she was like, okay, I'm off and I'm going to come home with a lot less clothing. And I was like, yeah, but are you?
I thought you were going to go somewhere
conversation with Joe. Look, I came back home with less clothing than I left with.
Fewer clothing.
God damn it.
Fewer clothes, less clothing.
It was one of those parties.
Fight me on that.
was clothing the only thing being swapped? The
keys went into a bowl at the front door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fish don't know how to drive salsa.
I didn't say a fish bowl. I said a bowl.
So anyway,
Soup doesn't know how to drive salsa.
There you go.
Okay. Oh my god. Good.
Sorry, Jenna.
No, it's not good.
We'll let you talk here.
Oh, thanks, gentlemen. So,
as a white man, I'm going to let you talk now.
Oh, you're so kind.
Fuck.
Right. But anyway, no, I helped Raiderly with some bags, and I started, like, I grabbed a bag to bring in, and I was like, wait a minute, was this your sister's scarf? And she's like, yes. I'm like, I have been coveting this scarf for a very long time. Ooh. So I'm just going to take this. And she's like, you should. That is not the only scarf of Raiderly's sister that I brought home with me.
Well, all right.
In fact, that's not the only clothing that used to belong to Raiderly's sister that I brought home with me. I may as well have raided her closet, is what I'm basically saying.
Instead, you Raiderly'd her closet. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope, you fail on that one.
Well, you have a good night, everybody.
That one's a fail. But no, like there are a few lovely blazers and dresses that I got that used to belong to Raiderly's sister-in-law, whichever way you want to slice that name. But I also found the reason why flannels came up is that my daughter likes wearing flannels. Like, she escaped out of my teenage years. So,
fair. Yeah.
There were some flannels about her size, so I grabbed a few of those. And hopefully she'll like them. We'll find out. There were a few dresses that I tried on that I went, nope. And there were a few dresses that I went on that everybody else was like, yes, you are taking that. And I'm like, you are correct. Thank you. And there were a couple of prizes that I came away with. One of them was basically a modern opera capelet. I showed it to Joni's, like, what the hell is that? And it's basically like, you've got a couple of front panels, and then you've got, like, basically the rest of it is cape, but there's two slits where your arms go.
Sure.
So, like, you've got a front, but then you've also got mostly capelet around up into the shoulders, like the front part of the shoulders.
Okay.
It's a little dramatic. Looks incredible on me. Like, I put this thing on and the entire room just stopped and went, yes. And I went, absolutely. We're doing this. When am I going to wear it? I have no idea. But maybe just around the house. It makes me feel pretty.
Yeah.
But the other super winning thing that I got was a leather jacket.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Like, it looks like it's been worn a little bit, but it is not in any way, shape, or form worn.
Sure.
And you know what I mean? It's not new, but it's not heavily used. Like, it's barely used kind of a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been worn in just enough. But it's a Wilson's leather jacket that is the exact same style that my grandma had bought for me when I was 16.
Huh.
And that I wore until I outgrew it, and I gave that jacket to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put this jacket on, and I was like, oh my god, I'm 16 again. Like, it was the exact same jacket, and it fit me perfectly. It just happened to be the right size for me, as opposed to the previous one from a smaller time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the pockets are in the exact same spot. I was like, I put this on, I was like, oh! Oh, God, I feel young. Like, it was great. And it looks fantastic on me. And I have been sad not having, honestly, that specific style leather jacket for a while. I think I gave it to Jessa about 5 years ago. And I just haven't found anything to properly replace it. And now I have something to properly replace it. So yeah, I also got to learn fun things about, women's sizing. So I have a friend that I work out with, and she's much taller than me and much stronger than me. And that's not, I'm not mad about it. She just is, she does more than I do, and she works at it. So good for her. But she and I have very different body types, right?
Sure.
But we're both the same clothing size.
That's weird.
That's really weird. The fact that two very different body shapes would be the same clothing size is stupid. And women's clothing sizes are stupid. And I'm going to rant about that until the end of time. There's no way. That it's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be things in that size that would fit me that didn't fit her, or that did fit her that wouldn't fit me. Like, so we kind of got to play back and forth a little. Like, oh, this one has way more shoulder than I have. Why don't you try this? Exact same size. Ostensibly. But yeah, just different.
Yeah.
Fits differently on different people. And so when femme people complain about shopping for femme clothes mm-hmm. with femme sizings, this is what we're talking about. I was like, I've that never been nuts. Slapped in the face so hard by the discrepancy in these femme sizings than I have at this clothing mm-hmm. swap. I was like, holy fuck, this is stupid. And I'm angry at the industry and angry at the world. Fuck the patriarchy. Anyway.
Fashion industry is a fucking joke.
Oh, it's so dumb. Ridiculous.
I miss the days when it just said how many inches things were.
I wish we ever had that. Frankly.
I know. But the thing is men's clothes started doing it too. It used to be like a 30-inch waist was a 30-inch waist.
Yeah.
And I wore 30-inch waist well into college. And then I discovered that I did not have a 30-inch waist. It was just, they were trying to fucking make you feel better or some shit like that.
Huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's garbage.
And now I wear Duluth Trading Company pants, and they actually fucking go by inches, real human inches.
They'll do half size, or like half inch.
Yeah, but it's a 34 right. inch.
Yeah, it is 34
it's
inches.
34 inches.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I really appreciate Duluth Trading Company pants is because it's always the fucking same
that's
size.
So good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I went in, I bought 3 pairs of pants and 6 pairs of undies, and it took me maybe 20 something minutes to pick all of that out.
Because you knew your size, and it was the same size.
Yep.
Every time.
I misspoke. They don't do half inches, they do half sizes.
Yeah,
which are usually 2 inches. So they'll.
But again, it's goes
34,
back to
35, 36.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to what Jenna was saying about clothing is dude's clothing. As long as the waist and the length is the right, that's all that really fucking matters. Like you don't have to worry about curves, and you don't have to worry about
right.
I mean, there is definitely
the size of your butt versus the size of your thigh versus the size of your calf versus the everything that
the closest that I have come
waist butt thigh ratio does not exist in the world of clothing.
Yeah,
like I just all of my pants will forever have a 3-inch gap in the back just because of how my body is built.
Got to fit over that badonkadonk.
And it is a glorious badonkadonk.
A friend of the podcast was recently talking about how she's been trying to buy shirts, but she has much longer arms than like the model size that they use. Or even when it fits her torso, that her arms just stick out and that she has to modify all of her fucking shirts. And while I have had some sort of almost parallel experiences with shirts that fit my torso and my arms, all of my measurements are still in inches when I go to buy a shirt from a place. I can't.
It's not, this is size 2.
Right.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
2.
The closest thing that we have are
and shirts. That 2 is going to be a 3 next year because we're going to make a 2 even fucking smaller. Yeah, no, I and that's not to say that men's clothing doesn't also come more tailored, but our society lets us get away with having baggy clothing.
Oh my god.
So yeah, no, I completely.
And pockets.
Yeah. And fucking pockets. You're allowed to have, you're allowed to have things in pockets. It doesn't. And again, with women's clothing, if you heaven forfend, have something in your pocket, it ruins the shapeliness of your butt, and guys can't stare at your ass, and we can't have that. So yeah,
I mean, one trend that has started happening in femme clothing is dresses with pockets,
which is amazing.
That's been becoming more and more common. I mean, we still can't have pants with pockets, because why would you want pockets on pants? But dresses, like,
I have friends that walk around with, like, they have their cell phone in their back pocket, and more than 50% of the phone is sticking out of their pocket, because that's all the further that it'll go in there.
Nervous.
It gives me so much anxiety thinking that phone is going to fall out of their pocket.
Well, the thing that's nice about that is, because the back pocket is so fucking tiny, there is no way for the phone to maneuver itself out of that pocket. It's held in by sheer pressure. It is a pressure grip on that phone. Yep. So, you know.
So, yeah, no, I definitely understand your frustration there. And I wish I could make it better.
Yeah. Come on, white dude.
I understand my privilege on this one. I genuinely do. I have my own frustrations with the fashion industry, but I know that in comparison, I'm living the dream. So,
yeah. But it was still an absolutely lovely time, because everybody there was so encouraging of how things looked on everybody else. Mm-hmm. And there was never any moment where they were like, oh, you don't look good in that. It was, oh, that is not the right style for you. Or that that cut is not good enough for you. Like, things that were just so pumping you up. It was so good. Making all of the bad was in the clothing. How dare that clothing not conform to your fucking glorious body? And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that was lovely. So yeah, I had a very good time with that. And I mean, otherwise, I've been working. I am just now wrapping up my hell period for this forecasting cycle for work. I worked 55 hours last week. Which isn't... It could have been worse, and it almost was. I almost had to work the weekend as well.
That's a part-time job on your full-time job.
Exactly. So yeah, no, I worked 55 hours in 5 days. Do not recommend. And my brain was just like, I didn't do anything physically exerting. I sat there for 11 hours a day, basically. But it was so mentally taxing. It was insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, between that and I've been working on a top secret project over the past few weeks. And so it is a project that involves sewing. And I have 4 of these items ready to be serged and bound, and then they'll be done. And then my serger wouldn't go.
Oh no.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. So in the mail today I got a new serger, because I was like, nope, fuck it. The old serger was kind of shitty. I got it from a shitty person. So that just equates. And I've worked too hard for too long to try to make that thing do things. I finally dumped that guy, so I may as well get rid of the serger as well, is kind of how I feel about it. So new serger. So that showed up literally 15 minutes before I hopped on the computer. So I'm like, I have a serger downstairs right now.
God damn. Oh man, that's
Fuck.
That's like that moment when you get something exciting for Christmas or Easter and you have to go to a church service and you know that it's waiting.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys are my Easter church service. I just want you to know this.
We always have been.
I hate you. So anyway, that's been my life.
Yeah.
What have you all been up to?
I'm a partner had a sleepover over here with one of her kids. Because her kid was interested in hanging out with the household, Jax, okay. Especially, because she's just like locked on to Jax, just okay. Like entirely about spending time with Jax. And then this kid met our new housemate, and again, like instant bond.
Nice.
Super glue. We hung out, we did art, we played video games, we watched TV, and then we went to IKEA and we were we didn't even stay that long. I think we were there for like an hour and a half. It honestly was not the worst shopping trip I've ever had. But it did end with everybody kind of having at least a small meltdown.
Okay, sure.
Either like physically or emotionally, just being done and ready to be home. And then I was looking forward to a nice quiet night at home, just, you know, entertaining and whatnot. And then suddenly I was driving.
Okay, like sure.
Four other people to IKEA for a family outing. Yeah.
And you didn't kill each other at IKEA.
Correct. Oh, ultimately good. Successful. Yeah. And bought some fun things, bought some good important things, and then came home and we were ready to be home. Everybody got ready for bed. Mm. Everybody slept through the night. And then we woke up and my partner and her kid got packed up and ready to go. Did a small art project, had a bowl of cereal, and then they were on their way. And I was on my way to go do other things to prepare for Ville
this month.
Yeah. Ville. Yeah, and
never heard of it.
do you speak Klingon?
Ich sprechen Sie nicht Deutsch. which is the best way I could possibly say that.
Right. So somewhere Stefan is like, it's not ich nicht sprechen. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Made my point though, didn't I?
It was a good time. As with anything where you have somebody visiting for a day, something like that hosting takes energy.
Sure.
Especially with young kids, because adults know how to occupy themselves.
More or less.
More or less. An adult will say, well, is it okay if we watch a movie, or do you want to play a video game, or what have you? But kids tend to express themselves more in the, especially young kids, tend to be like, I'm bored.
Yep.
Well, do you want to do this? No. What do you want to do? I don't know. I'm bored. But yeah,
you problem.
I will say that of all of the like 10-year-old kids that I have co-parented, that this child was even like mid meltdown doing really well and very composed. But just, yeah, we all get like that. Some of the time where you just like emotionally or physically are done with the day. Yeah. So, no, it was a really good time. And then the whole weekend was so full of everything going on, and I know it's usually around Fest where like the weekdays are when you relax, but yeah, it is good to just be.
You relax during Fest?
During the week.
I don't understand.
Yeah, no, you've lost me completely.
Gotcha. So yeah. That was my weekend. And
Should we take a break?
I could go for a break.
Sure. All right.
We're gonna take a break. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I don't want to talk. I just want to solve a problem.
A little less conversation, a little more conversation.
I saw that from Joe.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
That's somebody's cue.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Yeah, I love that Salsa was late picking up his cue from Salsa.
I was just confused.
Yeah.
In general.
No, I believe that to be accurate. Yeah.
That's the byline for the podcast.
AON podcast. I was just confused in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confused in general is way better than being confused trademark. In private or being confused in commander.
What about confused in corporal?
Confused in captain.
Confused in corporeal would be fun.
Confused.
I feel like that's Casper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, James, did you have
Casper the Confused Incorporeal is the name of my Led Zeppelin cover band.
Yes. Well, is that the name of the band or the album?
That's definitely an album.
Yeah, I think that's an album.
Yeah, concept that's a Frank Zappa album.
That is a concept album.
Absolutely.
Yes. Highly conceptual.
That is after years of putting out rock albums. This is my jazz album.
Hmm. So all of us were aware of characters, fictional and otherwise, as children some extent or another.
I'm wondering where you're going with this.
What?
Well, good.
This happens.
That's the other byline for the podcast.
Makes me so happy.
But,
anyway, please keep going, James, so that we can...
I saw a content creator on TikTok said that the first person you have like a weird gay crush on is the person that you accidentally pattern yourself after. And I don't necessarily know that that's true or want to ask about that specific thing, but I am wondering, is there a fictional character or a more historical example, somebody that you were like, that's my whole personality. That's who I want to be.
So here's the thing. Here's why I threw a thing at you, even though we're not in the same room.
Yeah.
My first lady crush was the character Sarah from Labyrinth.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense.
And if like, and I've never like tried to pattern myself after her before, but if you don't think that I had a bunch of stuffed animals and dreamed about being whisked away by some fantastical king creature type, mm-hmm. or David Bowie, just David Bowie, really.
They're the same, yeah.
And read off a lot of monologues in bodices and flowing gowns. I had an evil stepmother, and grew to develop a care for relationship with my younger sibling. Yeah.
Huh.
That might be way more real than I want to admit to.
Tough but fair.
So many fantasy books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a younger brother.
Mm. Yeah.
So I just copied my older siblings a lot.
Hmm.
Mm.
Completely subconsciously, as kids do.
Yeah, I didn't have older siblings, so.
But I don't know if there's a historical or key figure that I copied.
I mean, I suppose, like, characters from my childhood that really spoke to me in one way, shape, or form. Sarah from Labyrinth, we've discussed this.
Yes, yep.
Wilma from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Velma's amazing. I have the most ardent crush on Velma.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. She-Ra.
Fair. Okay.
I liked Sword. Mm-hmm. Even at a young
story
age,
checks out.
Thing for me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when I was little, that was kind of my main three, and here I am. But like also like historical figures, I liked Joan of Arc. So that definitely feeds into it. Although, yeah, other historical people figures that I've enjoyed are, like Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King Jr. I found to be very inspirational growing up, but I'm not them.
No.
So like, I feel like there might be some aspect to this.
There are limits to the metaphor. Yeah.
But there are limits to this metaphor, but there's also like Harriet Tubman, just the idea of, no, you do good where you can do good, even under intense pressure, is definitely a thing that I've carried in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The ideals of equality and fighting for what's right are definitely things that I got from Martin Luther King Jr. Like, you know, it might not be a one for one, but those are more characteristics that I have definitely taken to heart.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. Like, I read a lot of Greek mythology growing up, so I became I became a man whore like Zeus.
That story checks out. You are an irresponsible goose. Yeah.
I cannot picture, nor do I want to picture Salsa as a fuckboy.
Fuck goose.
No, I don't want that in my brain either. If we could take that entire side story. No. God damn it.
So,
No, I, yeah, I didn't honestly watch a lot of TV growing up. I mean, it has been discussed previously that we didn't have a lot of channels. The cartoons I got were Rocky and Bullwinkle and, you know, the Smurfs. And
oh,
I
is
don't
that
think...
why you're so squirrel-like?
He's very
It's
boring.
Why I'm so blue. But
you
like,
depends on where you look, now. I guess.
The other TV I watched was like Sesame Street and Reading Rainbow and Mr. Rogers.
Oh, that's fair.
Stuff like that. And yeah, like I said, reading, I would love to say that Reading Rainbow is why I'm a voracious reader, but I was a voracious reader before Reading Rainbow.
Right.
You know, like,
absolutely.
I can't think of anything, honestly.
Were there any book characters?
Not even necessarily anybody that you had like a crush on, but just like somebody that you...
Oh, I haven't been going with crushes at all.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I
you said
that
Zeus,
you.
And I wasn't sure.
I get, but the thing is if I have a crush on someone, I don't want to be like them. I want to be with them.
Right. And this may be just like the panic bisexual thing.
Yeah. Bisexually speaking, there are a lot of femme people that fall into a few different categories for me. There are some people that I look at and I'm like, oh my God, I wish I was like them. I wish I looked like them. I wish I carried myself like them. Then there are some people that I look at and I was like, oh, I want to not be them, but maybe be with them. And there are some femme people I look at and I'm just confused. I'm like, do I want to be you? Do I want to do you? I don't know what's going on here in my bisexual brain. So, yeah. Like, I think that there might be an easier time of it to a certain extent when we're talking about gay crushes. If you don't have any gay tendencies, you might not be able to participate in that conversation as fully. Like... Yeah.
I feel like I don't have a lot to add to this conversation, but as a straight white male, I feel it is my duty.
Your duty.
to give my opinion anyway.
On gay crushes. Gay fictional crushes. All right.
Yeah.
My opinions must be known, otherwise did they actually happen?
But yeah, not crushes though. I'm expanding this to include you. You're welcome, white dude. But are there any fictitious characters from that you would read that you'd be like, oh, I want to be like that guy? Anything that stood out or anything that you're like, oh, like that characteristic of this person really speaks to me.
I think I wish
clothing.
No.
Okay.
I've always worn whatever the fuck I wanted to. Not because I felt compelled to. At least, again, maybe subconsciously I did, but because it's subconscious, I just don't know. I mean, there are definitely certain individuals with traits that I wish that I had, but it was less because like that person's so cool I wish I was like them, and more like that person actually has friends and I wish that I had friends. You know what I mean?
Oh, I wish that you had friends too.
I wish I had friends when I was younger and now. But yeah, like there were people that were confident and could talk to girls. And could, you know,
sure,
like
it was
this one guy I hung out with. I remember we were at State Fair, and he and I were like, we're so cool, we're gonna go to like the dance at State Fair, and we're gonna like we both know how to dance really well, we're gonna you know, find some ladies, we're gonna have some dances, we're gonna get our Mac on and it'll be all good. And then there was this other friend that was with us that we're like, loser, he's gonna drag us down, we don't want to hang out with him. And like at the end of the night, he had like a crowd of people around him and the two of us were sitting at the side, just like the two of us just going, yep, we're lame.
Aww.
It was just like, I looked at people like that. It was just like, how does this guy who's a weird, goofy, like, person with no sense of, you know, social anything, able to, I mean, look at James. How is he able to get
literally thinking the same thing? Look, we were all thinking that.
Honestly wasn't, but now I am. That is a valid point.
Yeah, the guy with absolutely no social skills whatsoever and is weird and goofy and says the wrong thing every time somehow goes home with the girl. I don't get it either. No, but like there were those like that confidence that people had, like when I was when I was in high school, I was the kid with no friends and I didn't have any confidence and I didn't know how to do half this stuff. And I wish I did, but that wasn't because there was one person I was looking at going, that guy's got that thing. I want to have that. It was just more a general, I wish that I didn't suck so bad.
I spent a lot of time struggling with this one. I think for me, I was pretty lucky. Early role models were Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, and, fuck yes.
a few different people, but Beast from the X-Men.
And, yes, one of my favorite X-Men. Beast and Storm are my favorites.
Gambit. I once cut up a pair of gloves.
Gambit was fucking awesome.
In order so that it would be missing the two fingers on each hand. And my parents were like, "Well, people are asking why your gloves are cut up," and I was like, "People need to mind their own fucking business. That doesn't concern them at all." Right. I did stop wearing them for my parents' sake, but I have to say probably the fictional character that I look back now and I'm like, oh, that's it was not necessarily a bi crush, but was Lara Croft. Like,
oh,
if we change the shorts to cargo pants, like, I think she's got a great aesthetic. She goes on cool adventures and has good hair. And I was like, oh, I have a long braid. I like I like wearing a backpack and find cargo shorts and tall boots very like aesthetic and like good. So maybe that is a thing. But yeah, no. I was, I think, very lucky with a lot of my role models that I couldn't emulate them as thoroughly as a person might. But I wore a trench coat in high school before the trench coat mafia was a thing, before a lot of like the anime nerds and other outsider kids were wearing trench coats. I was wearing one because a bunch of my heroes were detectives.
Sure.
From detective video games and from like even Columbo. That's not.
Look, just I have one more thing to say about this.
Okay. Yeah, good, 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 good. But yeah, no, I owned a trench coat. And then like the day after it happened, I was like, this coat was expensive and I don't want to stop wearing it. And I like it. I guess I'm gonna. I kept wearing it until someone was like, you look scary because you're wearing a long coat. And I was like, I don't. Even as a young edgelord, I did not want that. So
you must have been the most adorable edgelord ever.
No, I really don't think. I mean, I'm glad you think so, but I feel like I was like a lot of teenage boys, just a toxic piece of shit. Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine James at his most toxic, and all I can picture is him not putting the shopping cart away after putting stuff in his car.
No, I always do that. Like, that's not.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, that is you at your most toxic. Like, fuck the man. I'm going to leave this cart here.
That's the thing. Like, I believe James on an intellectual level, right? Yeah. On a, like, my friend is saying that I was a horrible piece of shit. So I'm going to believe him that that was a thing that happened in his life. But, like, I don't believe it in my heart. Like, it's hard for me to put that in a spiritual space. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong. You're probably right. Like, whatever. But, like, it's not hitting into the deeper levels of acceptance for me.
He's still a horrible piece of shit, but he used to, too.
Right.
Oh, my God. All right.
Hung out with a bad crowd of weebs and D&D.
Yeah.
I mean, when Joe told me
they were clearly Satanists.
Yeah, when Joe told me he was a shit teenager, I believed him straight up.
Oh, yeah. Nobody is going to gainsay that one.
I know who I'm dating. Like, I was like, oh, you think that stopped at the teenage years? All right. But, like, it's way easier to believe that of Joe, because he will sometimes say things that are offensive, not to offend, but just because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive, hopefully not offending. And sometimes he oversteps, but, like, you know, he's good about accepting people being like, nope. And he's like, oops, sorry.
Yep.
He's good about that.
Too far.
But it's very easy to see where there was a point in his life where he was not good about doing that. And with James, it's just like, I don't know, man, you seem to like not want to even get to that point.
I'm really glad. Like, that feels good to hear. Yeah,
you're clearly doing something right.
Yeah,
not a lot, but something.
Yeah, no one knows what it is. No one can point to it.
There's a certain something something, but
it's more like identifying. You can't see the black hole, but you can see the lensing around it. That makes you aware. It creates an outline of a right thing that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. There, it's
because
it's,
the symptoms are there.
There's a ramp.
Oh,
I need to tell you, beloved friend of the podcast, Rababa.
Oh, Rababa.
Offered me some vegetables from the garden, they are. One particular vegetable, there's a vegetable called a ramp.
Oh,
and I
shit.
Said that those are some good looking doors.
Oh God.
Did he offer to leave them at your front ramp?
Never in my life do I expect to ever have that clear of a setup ever again.
Oh God.
Perfect. Yeah.
Sigh.
Good.
Well, so anyway.
Yeah. To close this out, I will say that there is a moment in the novel Snow Crash where the main character, who's been trying to be kind of a badass for a lot of his life. Hero. In fact, the opening couple pages is just him thinking about how cool he fucking is. At some point he's just like, no, I can give that up. Like, I can buy this ridiculous thing and I can wear this dumb thing because I can't be the most badass because I've met this bad guy who is clearly fucking way more badass than I am. And I it turns out I don't want that at all. What I actually want is just to like live and thrive and not be in constant physical danger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's really, I, when I read that the first time, I was like, oh yeah, I've gone through that process. Yeah.
Where you realize you weren't as big a badass as you thought.
Well, I think everybody goes through that, but yes. Where I was just like, I don't want to look dangerous. I don't want to be like, I don't want to look like the dangerous weirdo.
Well, yeah, you know? I mean, that's part of growing up and, you know, going through time is not being the same person you were before. Yeah.
Even 5 years ago. Yeah.
Do you mean I'm supposed to grow, change, and evolve as a human being?
No one's expecting you to grow.
That's good. This 5 foot two is where it ends.
Good.
Just, you know.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Shall we take a break?
I was going to ask that. God damn it.
Sorry.
Take it back, James. Take it back.
Sorry.
Should we take a break?
Gosh, that sounds good.
That's a great idea.
God, yeah. I'm going to start it with garlic and onions.
Ooh, a break with garlic and onions? That sounds like a really good idea.
Ramps with
garlic. I'm so glad you're here, Jenna. We would be lost without you.
Absolutely.
That's true. That is actually true. All right.
I'm so sorry.
All right. I dwell in darkness without you, and it went away.
That was actually a network password of mine like 10 years ago.
we're going to take a break.
Okay.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Well, now I have concerns.
As well you should.
Absolutely. Oh, I started with concerns. Now I have more concerns.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... the older and better Zestera sibling, along with the beautiful Anna Levine.
Oh my God.
Happy birthday, Anna.
Yes, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Woo.
It is on the, not the day that this comes out, but
a couple of days
today,
ago.
Today, I think. Yeah, when this comes out, it will be a couple days ago.
I think it was yesterday. The recording. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. I'm wrong now. Happy birthday again. Yeah,
it is.
They had a birthday at some point this year.
Yes.
That is likely. Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
You never know.
Do we Zastera for this Zastera, or do we...
No. You can't use the same theme song for two different people.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but the name...
Do we do like the Pink Panther theme?
No. This one hasn't earned a theme song yet.
Oh, wow. You're thrown down. All right.
Well, I mean, how many Fast Fives have we gotten recently from them?
That's true. What have you done for us recently?
Exactly.
Well, I received a bag of tiny things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number one.
I really wanted you to fuck that up.
So supportive.
Thank you.
Ah, good.
Thank you.
Food or animal?
Food or animal?
I have What's the difference? Too much time with Joe and
Yeah.
Full he stop. Was talking today about dogs and making inappropriate comments that only he could make because of his background. Because
he's Chinese. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I'm not gonna tell you you can't do that. I'm just like, you gotta know. You're not representing. And he was like, what? What? There's food and there's pets. I don't get it. And I was like, oh God, okay. All right. Okay. So anyway, sometimes that's what went to my brain. Huh?
Sometimes they're both.
Yeah. All right, farm boy.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what rabbits are. Both.
Pigs, goats, rabbits.
Chickens.
Chickens. Definitely ducks. Chickens.
Mostly rabbits. They're the ones with the largest slice of that Venn diagram.
No, deer are the Venn diagram.
Are you keeping deer as pets?
No, but that's where venison comes from.
Wait, but like Hasenpfeffer?
But they're not pets.
Are you telling me you've not had rabbit?
I have.
Okay. But you haven't had a deer as a pet, so what are you talking about?
I haven't. I was in the Nara Buddha Shrine, where the Nara deer are very famously not at all shy.
Mm-hmm.
They are domesticated to the point of violence.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's like a goat.
Yeah. Like, if... Because
when a goat
you can,
wants your attention.
You can buy little packets...
Mm-hmm.
of senbei, little vegetable crackers that you are allowed to feed to the deer. You are only supposed to feed them those senbei crackers.
Have you ever?
But I was continually sure, just based on the way that the deer approached people and harassed them, that at some point we were going to hear like an adult scream and turn to see a deer with just like a child's shoe sticking out of its mouth or something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I figured you were going to say with a switchblade asking for their wallet. But
So once long ago, our grandparents took us to the Dells, and we went to a petting zoo.
Uh-huh.
And it had been a little drizzly that day, so our grandparents had gotten us like these plastic poncho-y thing.
Mm.
And my little brother got one that was clear colored, and I had one that was orange.
Okay.
And we went to go feed the deer in the petting zoo area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got the little quarter, and you do the thing, and then you've got the handful of stuff, and you go up to the deer, and you're like, mer, and they're like, mer, 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 and it's adorable. And so I'm feeding the deer this feed, and then, like, I feel something tugging on me, and I turn around, and there is a deer that has started to try to eat my poncho. And then more deer came up and tried to eat my poncho. I was like, what? And I was freaking the fuck out. I am 9 years old.
Yeah.
And deer are eating me. Like, this is what's happening in my 9-year old brain. And I'm like, oh God, oh God. And like, after taking pictures, my grandparents intervened, and they, like, one of them got a handler and whatever, like, but yeah, they're like, yeah, no, the deer really like the color of your poncho and they think it's food. I'm like, it's not, I just want it to be dry. There's a picture of me throwing the poncho in the trash because I'm just sad and dejected and angry at the world. I'm crossing my little 9-year-old arms like, meh.
It doesn't surprise me at all, in any way, shape, or form, that you would throw that poncho the fuck out.
Right.
The fact that somebody got a picture of that moment is perfect.
No, that I mean, my grandma was pretty on top of her picture game. But, yeah. So, anyway, I would rather eat deer than be eaten by deer.
I'm going to go with food.
I'm going to go with food.
I'll go with food. I've eaten a lot of different animals.
What I love is that, like, so the words are food or animal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the context might be for this, but I know what the context is in my brain.
Right.
And I would rather eat than be eaten. I'm going food.
Yeah.
See, if I say food, then I've actually said both.
Way to be inclusive, Salsa.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
That's my move.
Mm.
All right. Question number two. Just for you, Jenna.
Salsa, is it so hard? Is it hard to hit the button, Salsa?
It's so hard, Jenna. How do I do this? What do I do? How do I do this thing? How do I button? I don't know how to button. How does this go?
Wow.
Question number two. You're welcome, Jenna. See, you hold this whole thing together. Question number two, mauve or chartreuse?
Chartreuse is kind of a violent yellow green, isn't it? Like the alcohol?
Yes, I believe so.
Even though it doesn't sound... Chartreuse sounds like it should be a red color, doesn't it?
I agree. I have always thought it sounded more like a... It should be like crimson or scarlet or chartreuse.
Right.
Right, yeah.
But no, it is a...
It is green.
Sickly green.
Yeah. Almost like the warning green.
I do not know what mauve is. Or mauve. Is it mauve?
I think mauve is like a... I might be thinking of taupe, but isn't mauve like a...
very similar.
Purple tan... Not like a purple, but like a lilac tan.
So it's mauve.
Okay.
It's not mauve. It is mauve.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's somebody says it's mauve. I'm going to fucking... No, it's mauve.
Okay, well, now that's going to happen all the time.
All right.
Jenna, I'm pretty sure it's mauve.
Oh, fuck off. but no, mauve is a pinkish tan. It's taupe with more pink is really what it is.
Oh,
kind of this weird tannish grayish pinkish color.
Yeah, I love that it's taupe, but mauve.
Yeah. It's toupee.
Toupee or not toupee.
So the very first Mystery Lodge show I was in. And the thief in that was the chartreuse goose.
Okay.
So on the strength of that alone, I'm going with chartreuse.
There is a character in Stephen Bruce of Vladimir Taltosh series.
Mm-hmm.
That is she's the sorceress in green, and the main character of Vlad makes a joke about the witch in chartreuse or something. So, based on that, I'm gonna go chartreuse.
All right.
I'm gonna say chartreuse because of the liquor.
All right. Also, mauve reminds me of my mom's house, and that's just like. Nope.
It always reminded me of Maud, the sitcom.
The thing is, like, I've described my mom to people as Professor Umbridge. And I'm not wrong.
Is it pronounced mom or mom?
Question number three.
Good job, Salsa.
Morning or evening?
How is morning spelled?
As in the time of day.
Okay.
I don't believe morning exists.
I've rarely seen it,
and when I do see it, I haven't had coffee, so it may have just been a cryptid.
Yeah, I suppose there's that. So I'm going evening. I mean, here's the thing. Like, the older I get, the more I just wake up at sunrise, which is the most annoying fucking thing to happen to me in my life, because I'm still not a morning person. I'm just awake now to not be a morning person. But I do technically get up pretty fucking early in the morning. I think as far as time of day, though, like evening, there's something lovely about coming to a close on a certain portion of your day, depending on when evening hits, right? Because for me, evening is like, I don't know, it's like after work. And after work is great. Although, if the context is, when do you play Wordle, I'm going to have to say morning.
Definitely about Wordle. Morning because of morning meeting.
Which is not. Ah, I miss morning meeting.
I do too.
Yeah, I'm going to go morning.
James?
Just morning.
Morning.
Oh, yeah.
Morning meeting.
He did, yep.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were just contextualizing, not answering.
Ah, gotcha.
All right. So, question number four. Aluminum, or for our British listeners, aluminium.
Aluminium.
Yeah. Or glass.
Or glass. For our British glass listeners. Yeah. This might be like a bottle versus can beer.
Yeah. Right. That's kind of where I was going with it.
And I'm much more of a can person. I simply can't be bothered.
I prefer bottles.
I am a lot more likely to finish a crowler than a growler.
My brain broke on the implication that you didn't finish one.
And in a sitting. That's still
my
not
brain
changing
broke
mind.
On the end.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good. All right. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I much prefer glass in that situation. All right. Question number five.
Five.
Ooh. Spite or malicious compliance?
Malicious compliance. I always choose malicious compliance.
Malicious compliance.
It's so delicious. Is this what you wanted me to do? I will do this.
I'm not smart enough for malicious compliance.
I believe that. Okay.
I'm not able to find those. Like, I'm not the kind of guy who can look through the rule book and find those loopholes. I can't.
Here's the thing.
I'm able to do things out of spite, though.
I feel like malicious compliance can actually be productive. And here's why. So I'm a project manager. I know that affects everybody listening to this. But one of the things that happens when you're working on a project or a process is there is a process outlined for how to do a thing. And there's somewhere during that process where somebody just does a thing that's not specifically outlined in the process, but that they know if they do it the way the process is outlined, it's either going to take longer or not be as correct or whatever the fuck else, right? Like there is something broken in the process. And so they're being the gaff tape of the process by just skipping that portion of
they're
it
stepping
or going
over the squeaky
around
stair.
It. Right. And as a project manager, I understand the drive to get the thing done, but I need to know where those broken parts are.
Yeah.
So that we can fix it for the future, right? So staying compliant to something is very helpful for me. If you want to do it maliciously, please have fun with it. I have found so many processes where people are like, oh, well, we don't actually do it that way. And I'm like, but that's what's outlined. So that's what I'm going to do. And they're like, well, but you can't do that because of this. And I was like, but that's the outlined process. So that's what I'm going to do. And I will, and there is definitely maliciousness in my heart when I do follow that fucking process to the T. And then a few months later, that process gets changed. It's such a glorious fucking feeling.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So yeah, I definitely think there can be a level of productivity in malicious compliance, but also it's just so much fun to be like, no, I did exactly what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I did it exactly how it was written. Mm-hmm. I did the thing that I was like, that you asked me to do by following this thing. Oh, did that turn out poorly for you? Oh, poor baby.
Like,
it's so delicious. It is so good. Like, I like spite. I'm not going to lie. There can be spite in malicious compliance, but that, so tasty. It's so good.
Like, I want to say like 5 or 6 years back, I started like really only doing the things that my Fest contract said I needed to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't have a contract, I didn't do.
Yep.
But I needed somebody to point that out to me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like somebody else had to go, this is the thing to do. And I was like, oh, hey, that's a great idea. I can't, I'm not able to.
You don't conceptualize like it, that.
Yeah. I can't see those things in front of me. I'm not that kind
I
of brain.
I feel like there's a difference in some ways. Is that more spite or is that malicious compliance?
What?
Just following the contract and not doing more than
that's,
the contract.
No, that's absolutely
that
malicious.
That is a 100% compliance.
Yeah.
Well, that's it's compliance.
Yep. You are contracted to do these things.
Yeah.
You are not contracted to do other things. If your contract does not say that you are to do these other things, you are being compliant in following what your contract says.
Yes.
And if you're doing it because it's bullshit and there's a level of maliciousness to it, then it is malicious compliance. Like
literally
it is
the definition.
A very straightforward definition of it.
Right. I was wondering if Salsa was doing this out of a place of malice. Or if it was just like, this is the common sense thing. If you work in an office, don't be the guy that fixes the printer, because then you will always be the guy.
It becomes malicious when it is not the norm. It becomes normal to do things without a contract.
Yes.
Everybody just does things. They don't have a contract yet, but they're doing parades. They don't have a contract yet, but they're doing promotional stuff.
Yeah.
I once, 1 year, I signed my contract on seventh weekend. I walked into the office, signed my contract, and they handed me my paycheck. That happened to me once. That was happened to the me normal.
Many times. Yep.
That was the normal. And so I started doing, I don't have a contract yet. I don't do anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then absolutely. Okay.
Yep.
I see what Jenna's
saying. No, there were many, many years that I didn't get a contract until fifth, sixth, seventh weekend. There was at least 2 years I can think of where I didn't actually have a physical contract at all, only a verbal agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Still got paid.
Yep. And that was all just normal for a long time.
Yeah, but then, it was for a very long time. But
then bullshit would happen here and there to this person or this person. And they had no ground to stand on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'm not going to get caught up in that.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it was straight up malicious compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes
I did
sense.
That for a couple
but
years.
But again, I needed somebody to point that out to me and go, mm-hmm. we should do this because they're getting away with this. And it was like, oh, hey, that's a good idea.
Hmm. Yeah.
Me, if I see stuff that is bullshit, I do spite. I go straight to spite. I can't do the calmly, like, no, seriously, let's look at the details here. I can't do that. I don't have the patience.
Hmm.
All right. So going
I'll
on.
Say spite.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought you would. Question number one, food or animal?
mm-hmm.
In a world where allergies are no longer, and you may have either a pet or food that you or a member of your household is allergic to, which would you choose?
Food.
I would eat an apple tomorrow.
Oh my God. I would I would have a Domino's pizza. I know that sounds ridiculous. Do you know what I can have on a Domino's pizza?
Nothing.
I can have the sauce and maybe a topping. Like let's be real here, but no. Like I would go to Updown. I would have their mac and cheese pizza cuz do you know what I can have on the mac and cheese pizza?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. I would go out and grab a brick of cheese and just start gnawing on it like a goddamn rat.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
Just a piece of cheese with a pineapple on top of it.
I would go get a banana split covered in fucking dairy and peanuts and coconut shavings.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, melon for no good reason, kiwi. I would, pineapple. I don't even like pineapple, y'all, but I would still put pineapple on that fucking thing. I would chase it all down with some kind of tropical tiki drink. Like, fuck.
It has milk in it for some reason.
A slice of grilled pineapple on a burger is dope. So,
oh my God, yes.
See, but if I could suddenly have pets tomorrow? Nope. I'm not a pets person.
Still probably wouldn't have one.
No. Maybe a cat because it'll mostly take care of itself. And also any mouse concerns. But that's a working cat. That cat has to earn its place. Look, I raised an entire human being by myself. I don't have time for anything else.
Yeah.
That's nope.
My gut reaction was food because I don't really have pet allergies, and so I'm able to enjoy the company of pets. But if this is a world where allergies do not exist
for you and your partner,
I think that Jax would want a kitten.
This seems correct.
I think that Jax would want a kitten. Mm-hmm. And I love dogs. I'm not a dog person or a cat person because
no you're
friend shaped
you are fully genetically human. That's
fluffy animal is friend. That's just like dog and cat person.
I often say that I feel about pets and animals the way other people feel about children. where they're cool with kids. They're fine with children existing. They'll play with kids. They'll borrow other people's kids, but they don't want kids of their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with it. Like, if I didn't have animal allergies, I might play with somebody else's pet.
Mm-hmm.
I might let a cat curl up with me and take a little nappy nap. I'll play with a dog more than just at the end of a stick. Like, yeah. But I don't want one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas... If my food allergies were an issue, I would stock with my fridge with so many goddamn cheeses, you have no idea.
Just be Jenna in a kiddie pool full of nacho cheese.
Yep.
Oh, God, yes.
I would do a thing that I did growing up that I miss so bad.
Mm.
And that is a hunk of cheese.
Mm.
And an apple.
Oh, yeah.
Or an apple and a bit of peanut butter.
Yeah. Like apple and peanut butter. Apple and
we like have right now
meat and cheese tray. Yeah.
In our backyard, we have a cherry tree and we have raspberry bushes and we have like our little berry patch over there. And all of that is not something that I can just go pluck off the tree and eat. Like, the kids will be able to get little berry stained fingers when, you know, in the summer, and I'm happy that they have that, but I don't have
that.
And that's frustrating.
That sucks real bad. If I was no longer allergic to avocado, I could just eat sushi until I blew up. And there are a lot of things that I can eat at a sushi restaurant, but there are so many things that I can't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Sounds like food's pretty universal here.
Yes.
All right. Question number two, mauve or chartreuse? Which color name is more pretentious?
No, I'm still going to say chartreuse.
Mauve just sounds dirty to me. Not like dirty as in sexy dirty, but just mauve just sounds like the color of dirt.
Yeah, it
kind of is, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, certain dirts. But no, it definitely, yeah, mauve for me, mauve sounds like, if you're just thinking of the word mauve.
Yeah.
That sounds like something you would hear a hillbilly say to try to be pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like a pretentious person saying to be pretentious.
Sure.
Right? Like chartreuse? Yep. Chartreuse is a word that a pretentious person says to be pretentious.
Yep.
Straight up.
I feel the exact opposite about it. I feel like somebody could be like, hooey, have a shot of this chartreuse. But I feel like somebody would be like, we've decided that the curtains should be not mauve, but a little off mauve. Somewhere between mauve and lilac.
Number one, I never want to be in that person's house.
No, I have no idea what you're going on about there.
But
chartreuse is the correct answer.
No, I agree with Celsa on this one. No, I think chartreuse sounds. I mean, it's got two syllables, not one. Come on, how pretentious can you be?
I feel like the name Cher is very pretentious. And that's one syllable, one name, no last name.
Cher is a pretentious name.
I mean, I feel like...
Or Cher. Why would... Wow.
I mean, Cher might be a nice person. I don't know. I don't know anything about Cher other than a few songs.
Which you find pretentious, apparently.
Seriously.
I definitely find the single name thing a little pretentious.
So how do you feel about Zendaya?
So how do you feel about Salsa?
Right?
Oh, Salsa's definitely pretentious.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But also two syllables, so, you know.
Question number three, morning or evening?
Mm-hmm.
If you could only brush your teeth once a day, would you brush in the morning or at night?
In the morning.
I do only brush my teeth once a day, and I do it before I go to bed.
Huh. This explains much about you.
Can I...
I don't know what that means.
Can I mouthwash in the morning and brush my teeth at night?
It only says you cannot brush twice.
It says brush.
Yeah, because, like, getting the morning breath off, like, I could handle just mouthwashing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if I've got stuff in my teeth at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
I want that stuff out of my teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would definitely have to be evening.
I think it would bother me more leaving the house with morning breath. Which I guess is why you're saying the rinse.
Yep.
Yeah. But for me, I think I would rather go to bed. Well, like dental hygiene wise, it's probably better to brush overnight when you're not going to be chewing on things. You can't have gum, which helps. You're not like working saliva and stuff around. Maybe evening. Maybe that is the correct answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've convinced me.
Hooray! Brush your teeth.
Yeah, brush your fucking teeth.
Yeah. First thing I do is drink a cup of coffee. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely
if I brushed
that.
In the morning, that would not last.
No.
10 minutes.
Only brush the ones you want to keep.
I'm very insecure about my teeth. I have very bad teeth for a variety of reasons. Mm. Like some of it is growing up with malnutrition.
Sure.
Some of it is when I was pregnant. It just sapped all of the calcium out of my body. It was awful. Don't recommend. Some of it is.
You heard it here, folks. Do not get pregnant.
Do not get pregnant. No, know what you're signing up for. But my parents never taught me how to properly brush. Like, there's a litany of reasons why I have really shitty teeth.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hardest things is that I can't always brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because sometimes I'm just in pain. One of the most awkward things to happen to me, I was brushing my teeth and a chunk of tooth came out.
Mm.
That's how bad my teeth are. Mm-hmm. And some of it is hereditary. Some of it is the environment in which I grew up. And some of it is just hard to brush my teeth. So, yeah, like I brush my teeth when I'm able to.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to pay attention to, oh, hey, does my mouth hurt right now? Maybe I should brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But I do always try to brush at least once a day, usually in the evening. I like having a morning swish, if nothing else, because morning breath.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had braces for years, and oral surgery and, you know, jaw surgery and everything like that.
I've had so much surgery.
Yeah. Like I've so much shit has happened to my mouth, that brushing, was difficult because I had braces and retainers and my jaw was wired shut for a while, you know, all that stuff. Like, so I actually have a set of dental tools at home, like the little dental picks and stuff like that. I have a little set of those. So I'll brush and floss and then I will actually go poke around in there. And if I have any like plaque or anything, build up or in something like that, then I'll pick that away down deep into the crannies. So, but yeah, that's before I go to bed.
The way that my teeth feel in the morning or at night is that like they feel gross. They feel gross. And it's become a thing. Like, have you brushed your hair and just felt like that's really soothing?
Sure.
I know that this is, especially based on what Jenna said, but like in general, I know that that is not people's experience of toothbrushing.
No, but we definitely understand where you're going with this.
Definitely. Like that is the experience that I have now.
The fact that I brush my teeth at all is owing to how, like, because of my ADHD, brushing my teeth is just not part of, like, I have to force myself to do it.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things that it is so easy for me to just crawl into bed without doing it. And I have had to force myself. No.
Sure.
Seriously. Override the executive dysfunction and brush your teeth. But in the morning, I want to wake up and be out the door within 3 minutes. My morning routine is stand up, put clothes on, walk out door. Like, there's nothing else. So, yeah. Question number, where are we at? 4, aluminum or glass? Nailed it. What is your preferred beverage container, can or bottle?
Can.
Yep.
To go into that. Yep. Question number 5, spite or malicious compliance? Which is a more powerful motivator?
I think malicious compliance.
I think malicious compliance.
Although spite definitely can be if you're doing it right.
Yes,
spite is long term for me.
Spite
malicious
is
compliance
also,
is short term.
You can brush off spite as that asshole. Malicious compliance, they're right.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to make it go away is to exceed. So. Closing thoughts. James, how dare you forget that it was I who gifted you the tiniest of mayonnaise jars? I'm hurt. Not really. It has been a while and I couldn't stand another glib offering from Gray.
Oh, God. Oh, sibling rivalry at its finest.
So apparently this is a fast 5 from the goods, Estera.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
You know what? Hey, you know what? If I can start beef between two siblings, I'm gonna.
Yeah, we've learned this about you.
Uh-huh. Usually it's between myself and my own sibling, but hey, I'll take what I can get.
Good luck starting beef between me and my baby bro.
Yeah. Anyway, that is all of them. If you would like to send in a fast 5, please go to aonpodcast.com. Click on submit a fast 5 and fill out the form. Does anybody have a shout out?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to give a shout out to my friend Robin and North Star Roller Girls that were involved in setting up the clothing swap that I attended. Mm. It was delightful. A very good time. And all of those clothes are getting donated. The ones that didn't get picked.
Sure.
And they're handling all of the angles on that. So thank you to all of those people. Big shout outs there.
James?
I am going to give a shout out to new housemate Vinny for not only being cool with, two extra people hanging out with us this weekend overnight, but also because the young child became so attached so very quickly and they became instant best friends. Vinny offered up their room as a place that the small child could sleep. And that was very kind. and very good. So, Yeah.
I am going to give my shout out to Waste Management. We have a tradition here in Bloomington, Minnesota, whereby it used to be every year. Now it's every other year. But usually if you have large items that need to get thrown away, you got to pay for it. You know,
right.
You can either haul it to the dump yourself or you need to call up your local municipality and say, hey, I have a big thing that needs to get thrown away. In Bloomington, once every other year on one day, they have what's called curbside cleanup, and you just put whatever the fuck you have that needs to get thrown away on the curb, and they just send out every fucking truck they have and they clean it all up. It's great for spring cleaning. It's it's a fun thing because everybody hops into their cars with a trailer and just drives around looking at all the shit people are throwing away. And in the past, I have gotten so much furniture and other fun stuff because people throw away stuff that's still in really good nick. And when you're a college kid, it doesn't need to be in that good of nick.
That's very true.
Like, we got a trampoline this year. It was one of the smaller, like, individual person-sized trampolines. And it's something that clearly had been just in their garage for two decades because it was coated in like a layer of dust. But it still was, it still worked fine. It was just clear that they just never used it anymore and didn't want it anymore. So they threw it away often. And we picked that up because my my niece, she had a birthday just a week ago or so, and they have a trampoline that had like elastic on it that was dead. And we were like, here's a better trampoline for you, for your 2-3 year old kid, you know, just fun stuff like that. It's kind of like this clothing swap. It's a great way to reuse and recycle stuff. But otherwise, just all that shit that you got knocking around here, make it go away, clear out that clutter. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do. This Sunday, I believe it's 6:30 PM. A link will be posted, to buy tickets if there are any left. Vilification Tennis does church, goes to church.
Okay.
Yeah, it's well, kind of more does than goes to, but yes. Yeah, we're all well excited, and I am very much looking forward to this, and we've done a lot of strong work for this for this month, so yeah, it's gonna be wild. So the link will be posted. Get your tickets, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
I have a lot of things on the distant horizon, but nothing directly in front of me, so just know there are things coming.
As was hinted at earlier, in just a couple weeks, Casimir will be performing at the Renaissance Festival of Nebraska. Yes, it'll be the 4th and 5th of May in Nebraska Renaissance Festival, or Renaissance Festival of Nebraska. Don't get those backwards. that's coming up. So. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you so very, very much to the other Zestera brother.
And not the Zestera, but the other Zestera brother.
The older and better Zestera sibling, along with the beautiful Anna Levine. There you go.
Yes.
For sending in the Fast Five on behalf of myself and James and Jenna. Eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.